Yeah, so it's actually a week today since there was one of our locals who goes down almost every morning to do observations down at the bay, which is really a continuation on of our Mātauranga study that was overseen by Whaia Rāmari Stewart when she spent a few months with us up here on Waiheke. And it's about, observing and understanding our taonga species within that bay. And so last Thursday, she unfortunately, during her shift, she saw a kōrora that was in distress and in trouble and was injured. And so she reached out, and we got Karen from Waiheke Native Bird Rescue down there pretty quickly to do a site assessment and just have a look at what was going on with the kōrora. And it was really clear very quickly that it was in serious trouble and needed to be and needed help and needed to be rescued.
And so, what is the situation there? Is it because the kōrora cannot get back to its nesting place? Has it been blocked? Is there impediment for, are there hurdles for them to get back into place? Is there those kinds of things, but is there also some kind of pollution there that's preventing them from feeding? Obviously, the situation has drastically changed for them in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it has changed. I mean, it's drastically changed since the barge arrived on the 8th of March. It's gone from a habitat that and surroundings that they've been familiar with for many, many years to having really intensive construction happening meters from their kāinga. So probably within the last 2 weeks, they've started pouring concrete into the piles for the first time. And so over those 2 weeks, there's not only been the death of the kōrora, but there's also been other taonga species that have had to be rescued from down there, like the kaoruhiruhi, which is the pied shag. And today there's a very sick little shag down there as well by the breakwater. So this, when we've spoken to the experts like Rāmari Stewart and also John Cochrane, who's known for us for the Western science expertise, specifically with the kōrora, we know that this kind of construction in such close proximity to their habitat is unprecedented. And so what we're seeing is also unprecedented in terms of what the effects are going to be on them. So the pathology report did come in from DOC yesterday, and we do know that the kōrora, which was named by one of our local Ngāti Pāua, Kaitiaki Emily, who you're probably familiar with, was named Manaya. And we know that it was a female, and she was pregnant. And we also know that they died of a puncture wound. And we never really know exactly what caused that trauma. But what we do know is that there's been drastic change to their environment. They will experience habitat loss, and if a kōrora is in distress and is injured, obviously navigating a huge construction zone to get back to their home is going to be incredibly difficult. And it's just really important for us to keep on continuing understanding the life within that bay and to continue to tell the story as construction continues, because they can't tell that story. So there's a lot of amazing community members and kaitiaki and protectors who are really dedicated to protecting the bay and to protecting the taonga species.
And so, what happened to Manaia's tūpapaku? Has that gone somewhere? Were you, because obviously this is really important, albeit evidence. It's really important evidence that highlights that supports all the kōrero that were given around the safety and sanctity of our taonga species. So she's actually really important. Her and her pipi are really important, aren't they? Where did they get taken?
So, Manaya obviously went up to the ICU up here at the Incredible Bird Rescue and unfortunately passed away that same day. The next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, there was a dock worker that travelled down, I believe it was from around the Warkworth area, down to the ferry terminal to collect Manaya.
So unfortunately, we're having technical issues with our system here, whānau. So if we just sit a little bit, if we wait a little bit longer, we might get Bianca Ranson back. But as I'll just keep explaining to whānau who have not been with us, we have been joined by Bianca Ranson. She's one of the kaitiaki of the Moana in Te Motu Ārairoa, which is Waiheke Island, Pūtiki Bay, where a marina is being built. They have been in and out of court, has Mana Whenua and Ngāti Wai, and also to the local people there. Thanks very much for rejoining us, Bianca. I was just explaining to our whānau who have just joined us what has happened. We're just having a little bit of technical issues, so thanks very much for your patience. So Manaya was taken away and not brought back. Manaya hasn't been brought back yet?
No, they haven't been brought back. I'm unsure as to where they are at the moment. And I've been thinking about it today. I'm like, what do they do? Do they, you know, like, do they just, I mean, obviously our community is really hurt and upset about this because so many people have been trying to raise awareness about the threats to our wildlife down in that bay for years. This has been going on for 5 years now, so it hasn't just been the 8 months since when the barge arrived. And it's incredibly frustrating because Auckland Council in 2017, when they rubber stamped this resource consent, they knew the state of the Hauraki Gulf. They knew that our biodiversity was in decline. And the Hauraki Gulf Forum has been telling us about the importance of limiting ocean sprawl. And yet we see this huge development being approved at, the gateway to a really significant landscape and at a regionally significant colony of korora. But it's also really important to remember that this, a lot of people are associating this kaupapa with just the korora, but it's so many taonga species that are being affected by this, and it's about the Māori of that whole bay and that ecosystem and how it is connected to other ecosystems, which is part of Te Kapa Moana, the Hauraki Gulf. And so, there was also information, I think it was released this week, to do with resource consents and how Auckland Council monitors those, and Auckland Council didn't actually provide any data, so we don't actually know in terms of resource consents, what they are and aren't monitoring. And we certainly don't see them down there monitoring what's going on. We've been documenting that and been telling the story.
And in terms of the development then, where are they up to? So they've got the concrete into the pillars, into the posts. Do you see it expanding? How far have we got with this? Is it looking like it's taking shape?
No, not really. Since the 9th of March, I believe they've got 4 piles in the ground, possibly another 2, and that's over 8 months, and they've got about 300 piles to put into the ground. So if you work that out, it sounds like it's going to take them about 20 years to build it. So they were supposed to have the entire floating car park and wharf constructed by now, but they haven't. And I think there's been a few things that have played into that. One is their inadequate penguin plan got exposed really early on when they contacted the only person on the island that has a dock permit to handle penguins, and they asked her to come down and remove healthy penguins from their homes. But that permit's actually only for handling sick or injured penguins. So it became really obvious really quickly that what the community was calling out was in fact true. And so then this whole penguin plan had to get reworked and resubmitted. And then, of course, we've had COVID. And I think that part of it has probably been, a percentage of it has been due to the motivation and the actions of a lot of the protectors down there stopping works as well. So they're incredibly behind in terms of their timeline and construction.
And are any of the protectors, are any of you still down on the foreshore? Are you down there on on the Moana currently? Or
There are people down there each day. So there's, I think there's people down there doing observations and seeing what's going on. As you'll know, Camp Korora, which was the occupation, was raided really early on by the police. There were about 20 something police officers that came over and raided the camp, and it was in level four. So that obviously hasn't taken shape again because of COVID, and I'm not really sure exactly what will be happening with that in the future. And then the other kind of big news is the same day that Manaya died was the same day that the developers took 32 of us to court. So they've put an injunction in place to prohibit us from being able to go down there. And they're also trying to seek damages as well. So it's all it's all real bully tactics, and it's them hiding behind we're saying that just because it's legal, it doesn't make it right. And so they're obviously on the ropes. They're probably under huge stress, and they're doing everything they can to silence a community that cares deeply about the environment. Waiheke is phenomenal in terms of, the people that live here and have been drawn to this place because of their love and aroha and care for our taiao. So yeah, there's quite a bit going on at the moment.
And that's wonderful. Today, of course, the Murikaikuru in Shelley Bay in Whanganui-Ātara, I was just waiting to see whether or not they actually got served with their trespass notice. They've got their blockades up, so I was just waiting to hear back from that whānau down there. So, all the very best to all of you who are, looking out and protecting our moana and our whenua. Marvellous, marvellous work you're doing.
Cool. Thank you, Claudette.
Me tuku mihi ki a koe, all the very best. And I hope next time that we speak, you can let us know whether or not you retrieved Manaya back to her place. That would be great to hear
Absolutely.
that.
I think with the amount of dedication and aroha that a lot of these, particularly these young Māori, have shown for the taonga species, it would only be right that the Department of Conservation reaches out to make contact with those who witnessed it, and to return her to the island. Thanks, Claudette.
Me tuku mihi ki a koe. Thank you so very much for joining us. That is Bianca Ranson joining us from Pūtiki from Te Motu Ārai.